الحمد لله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Okay, and I think the reason you didn't answer me, maybe you didn't hear me, so I'm going to ask you kindly to please fill the front seats first so that we can feel the interaction during this session. I don't like to see empty seats in the front while you are sitting in the back. MashaAllah, that's much better. Usually people are shy and say, I don't want to sit in the front, you know, I'll just stay in the back. That's much better. I have to start by making a confession. And there's a reason why I want to make this confession, and it's actually a reflection of how fast things change and how much we miss on the new things that every generation brings with it. To be honest with you, when Brother Shamim al-Haq, who is the coordinator of the convention, sent me the letter with my session that he wanted me to participate in, I looked at the title of this session, OMG, 16 going on 60, and I said, what do they want me to talk about? What are they talking about? What is this? And you know what? I felt so embarrassed to even ask. So I kept quiet, and you know, about 10 days ago, they sent me the synopsis of, you know, the session, and I read it, as you heard our younger brother read it, and said, okay, yeah, I can't talk about that. But what's the relation? You know, OMG, 16 going on 60. I couldn't find the lady. I said, well, it doesn't matter. Title is a title. Until now, at lunchtime, my daughters saved me. And they explained to me where the title came from. So it's good to have, you know, as we are growing older, our children are growing as well, and we start to, you know, lean on them, learn from them, and get to know things that way. So, brother, do you know what OMG going 16 going on 60?
No, I don't know OMG. What does it mean?
See, let me see. Point to the older people. Do you know what OMG 16 going on 60?
16 years old going
60. Oh, you must have seen it. Yes. Okay. Well, actually, it is, you know, depicted from the title of a movie. Oh my God, 13 going on 30. Obviously, I mean, you know, kids get to hear about these things, and there is wisdom behind it. 13 going on 30. Time just flies. And this is what I will try to talk about. You know, I want you to think of 19 years old new immigrant who came to this country 28 years ago and starting to learn about his environment. All of a sudden, that 28 years passed and it feels like I've come to this country a year ago. And believe me, I'm not just saying this because it's convenient for the session I want to talk about, but this is exactly how it feels. When I was your age, the younger generation, it did strike me as something that really it's true or right. I used to hear it from my elders without understanding the true importance of time, and that time is something relative, it is not absolute. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in two places of the Quran, gives us subtle hints about time and tells us the stories. One of them is actually about a man. Some people, the mufassirin of the Quran, say that this man mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah is the Prophet Uzair, the Prophet of Bani Israel. And you know, the story goes, أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا قَالَ أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. And remember the story of him who passed by a village that was deserted and looked lifeless. And he looked at it and said, how possible would it be for God to bring this village back to life? How could that happen? فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ. Allah caused him to die for 100 years, then he brought him back to life. ثُمَّ بَعْثَ. Then he started to ask him questions. He said, كَمْ لَبِثْتَ, after he came. Said, how long were you dead? Now here comes the notion that time is relative. How long did you stay dead like this? He said, يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ, a day or part of a day. قَالَ بَلْ لَبِثْتَ مِئَةَ عَامٍ. No, you stayed dead for 100 years, and I'll show you the proof. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, although Allah doesn't have to prove anything, but just for him to see that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that controls systems of this universe. قَالَ فَنْظُرْ إِلَى طَعَامِكَ وَشَرَابِكَ لَمْ يَتَسَنَّ. Look at your food and your drink, it's still fresh. By the way, there was no fridge, there was nothing to keep it there, but it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that causes the cause-result relationship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the influence of time on food out, and then subjected the means of transportation, in that case, a donkey, to time. Obviously, the donkey will not live for that 100 years that man was dead. So the donkey died, and it became bone and dust, basically. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manages things, and time is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quite often, younger people ask me, and you might answer that question yourself, you know, ask yourself, would it be boring to live in Jannah forever? I mean, after some time, what would we do? Honestly, haven't you thought of that before? You didn't. But it's okay to think that way. It's okay to think, okay, now I will spend time in Jannah, I'll have all the fun I want. But then after that, what would happen? Forever, what would happen? And this is actually what we have to understand. Time is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for this phase of life. There is the sun created by God. There's this earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in the shape of a globe. It rotates around its own axis, so there's day and night, the length of which is 24 hours. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that earth to rotate around the sun, making 12 months, 365 and a quarter, okay, to complete one complete rotation. So this is another thing contributing to time. So that's another year. And then every 4 years there's a leap year because we want to perfect the calculation. And then every year we get older. We get older, and then the whole solar system is going around the center of another, you know, focus until we don't know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this for us to feel it. And Albert Einstein, to demonstrate his theory of relativity, said that if we put a person in a rocket and let that rocket leave the atmosphere of the earth and make it move at the speed of light in vacuum, basically outside the atmosphere of the earth, and then, you know, with some calculations, and let that rocket come back after 50 years, he proved that the person after 50 years who come back would be the same age. So it is a matter of calculating things. And then the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ demonstrates that when we die and we are placed in our grave until the fourth phase of life is about to unfold, the question is asked by the angel that will bring us back to usher us into that other life for the resurrection, will ask us, how long were you in your grave? And we will, you know, get up from our grave in a state of, you know, haze. We will not know what is happening, and then we will just answer, just feel like it's the time between Zuhr and Asr. That's why, because time while you were in that state was not part of your existence. You were alive in a state called Barzakh or Izmat, but time was not with you. Time is only something that is part of Al-Hayat al-Dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it for a very important reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made time units different from what we experience if He wanted us to experience something else. He would have made salat maybe after sunrise in the morning, but He made it at dawn. He made another salat when the sun is in the center of the sky, at the, again, you know, the middle of the sky. And then middle after, for a reason. Then we go back now to Jannah. In Jannah, there's no time. And that is why, when we live eternity in Jannah, there, it's not a 24 hours day and night. There, whatever you want to enjoy, you will enjoy it without the consequences of life on earth. If you want to sleep, it's not because you are tired and you want to replenish the nourishment for the cells, the oxygen, and let the metabolism actually slow down so that the cells will benefit from what you have been collecting through the day. No, your muscles will not be tired. There, if you will eat, you need not worry about, you know, going out to get rid of the waste. There, if you will meet others, you will not meet them for the same reasons as you meet people in this dunya. Things are totally different. So time is not a factor, and boredom actually is related to time. When you spend so much time listening to a boring speaker, you say, when will he finish? Why are you laughing? I didn't mean about me. There were two of us. You see, you will actually now see a demonstration of what time does to people. So you will hear from me, and then you will hear from a fresh, young individual. Inshallah, this will be an experience for you to really think about time. So what I said so far was the introduction. Now I will start with my topic. Are you okay with that? No, actually, this is the framework I want you to start to think within. Time is relative, not absolute. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to think of time very seriously. In 14 places of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an oath by something very important. In one of those 14 places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an oath by time. In a surah which is one of three shortest surahs of the Quran. Yet this surah is called by the Mufassireen the key to the Quran. And you do not enter any place without the key. If you will read this surah and reflect on it and think about the meanings of this surah, you will know why it was called the key to the Quran. Time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have to use anything to make you believe what He has to say. So the oath made by God is not to invite your acceptance of what He has to say. He doesn't need to do that. But it is us who benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's glory making an oath by something. So we say, oh, we better pay attention, because this something must be very important. Wal-'asr, by time. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Humans are at a loss. It's a general statement. It is not specific. It's general. Humans are at a loss. That's how they start. Illa, except. If you don't want to be at a loss or be a loser or end up losing what you have invested in this life, you better pay attention to four things. Illa alladhina aman. You've got to really work on your iman. Don't just, you know, make a lip service and say, alhamdulillah, you know, I pray 5 times a day and one of the times I fast and I do very well. No. Be careful. Don't fall into this trap. Iman is not only this. These are the vehicles that help you to build your iman. So when you pray, it is not the end in itself. It is the vehicle that will help you through an appreciation of time on earth. So when you say, I was not told how long I'm staying here. Had we been told, okay, you are going to live 63 years, O Muhammad, so try to phase your time accordingly, because you only have 63 years. 23 you will spend in spreading the message of Islam. So Rasulullah would have said, oh no, he wouldn't have said that, but let us use terms. Oh, I wasted 13 years in Mecca. I only have 10 years and I still did not teach people anything yet. Because Prophet Muhammad spent 13 years in Mecca out of 23 teaching Muslims just one thing, nothing other than one. One, which proves to be the most important thing. Yet today, we know very little about that thing that he spent 13 years to teach. And that is, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. No salat, no siyam, no zakat, no hajj, nothing, nothing. Just only, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. You better understand as a Muslim what this means. Today, oh, that's the easiest thing. And I always give this example because I want you to be very careful. I've heard it from many parents telling, you know, that man who walks with their daughter one day, oh, I want to marry your daughter. Oh, but you're not a Muslim. Yeah, I know that. How do I become a Muslim? Oh, so they call the imam very quickly. Tell us, what shall we do? Well, you know, he has to become a Muslim. So, you have to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, in order to become a Muslim. So what does this person do? They go and tell him, can you say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? Said, yeah, I say it, but how do I become a Muslim? They say, oh, just say that. That's it. I say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And then what comes after that? Nothing. Why? Because we ourselves don't know what it means not only to say but to live according to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. But this is not the topic of the presentation. So 13 years just teaching that because we don't really know how long we are spending on this earth. That's number one. Number two, we have no idea how long we will have for anything we do in this life. You are told when you go and you write your exam, you have 1 hour, and then as time starts approaching that, the end of that 1 hour, the person who is supervising the exam starts writing 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, time is up, you're done, you're finished. You know what? The angel of death does not give us, you know, those tickets and say, you know, 1 year, 5 months, 2 months, you know, 2 weeks, time up, I'm coming to take your soul. The angel of death comes unannounced and we cannot say I'm not ready yet. People may think that it is convenient to ask for a little bit of time more, but the Quran writes about this. The Quran tells us and says that when the angel of death comes, we will say, oh, please send me back so that I will change my way. You know why we will say that? Because at that time, that veil, which all of us have now, will be lifted. So we will start to see angels. We will start to see how things were so real, the things we were told about in the Quran. And we said, oh, but we can't, you know, we really can't see the angels, that they just tell us about. At that time the veil is lifted, and it's too late. You can't go back. From there on, you have to continue one way. It's not a two-way street. It's just a one way. And all of us, by the way, are going one way. There's no return ticket. We cannot come back. And because of this, we've got to use our time properly. I keep coming back to time. And you know what? In Jannah, inshallah, all of us will be in Jannah. Say Ameen. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. You know, in Jannah, you will reminisce about that moment I spent somewhere, yeah, on earth, that fraction of a moment. Because you know what? If you know mathematics, any number divided by infinity is equal to what?
Zero.
Just zero. That's it. Any number divided by infinity. So when we talk about eternity, there's no death. And the Quran says that it is just one death that all of us will face. So in Jannah, we will reminisce about that, you know, moment we spent on earth, and we would really say, oh, I wish I've done more zikr for Allah. Because we will see in Jannah that people who took the time never wasted a moment even while they are driving. Subhanallah, 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 la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Even sometimes as younger people, you know, I remember it's okay. I used to look at older people in the masjid and I see them. You know, I'm saying, what are they visiting about? Okay. And then I learn that they are doing zikr. And then I learned the hadith of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, or what is reported to be a hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, because it is not written as sahih, but nevertheless it is a hadith that we really consider for its meaning, that when we will be in Jannah and see what just one zikrullah elevated people, I say, I wish I'd done two more, just two more to reach to somebody, and then others will be in places saying, I wish I'd used my time more efficiently. The time that Allah created that I could not see, I did not appreciate, I spent in reading a magazine or in reading or in watching television or in basically, you know, the term that youngsters use these days is that, oh, I want to go to the mall. Okay, what do you want to go to the mall for? Oh, just to hang around. Isn't that what you say? Chill. Oh, there's a new term. Excuse me. Yeah, I started to hear this word, chill. Okay. And then, you know, yo, they said yo. You want to chill out, or you take care of that, you know, so you must know these things. Okay. So, but they go to the mall to just basically waste time. You know, if you look through the window, and when I came this morning, you know, I said, is the conference or the convention this year at the Toronto Congress Center, or did I come to the wrong place? Because I looked around me in the morning and I saw, no, honestly, I mean, I people with, you know, spikes, and, you know, not that I want to undermine what people are doing, but it's a sign that people are starting to search even for display of this kind to express how frustrated they are with time. Today I hear older people say, there's nothing to life. We just eat, sleep, wake up in the morning, go to work, come in the evening, sleep on the couch, go to our bed, watch television, sleep, get up. And here they fail, even Muslims I hear from, I don't hear from them saying, you know, we get up for Fajr, we pray, we do zikr, we read Quran, then if it is the weekend we sleep a little bit, then we get up, we started to do things around the house which is a form of ibadah, we meet together as a family, we go out as a family, then we pray together as a family, we go to functions as a family, it's another form of ibadah, we do this and that. This will give our life a meaning. Today, people have a high rate of depression, stress, tension, suicide. Why? Because they don't know how to deal with that commodity called time. Time to them is a killer. Imagine you are spending a life sentence at jail, and how, quite often I think, you know, what goes through the minds of people who are serving a life sentence? How do they feel? I mean, what are they living for? Just breathing? Eating the food that they are given? You know, serving a life sentence. Why? Because at one time in their life, they really came to a clash with time, and they tried to wrestle with this time, and they ended up committing a major offense that took them out of time and let time punish them. Punish them in this life before the hereafter. Imagine again, for the same sake of argument, imagine we talked about eternity in Jannah, that people who did not deal properly with time in this dunya, time will punish them in the hereafter in Jahannam, in the hellfire. It's time that will punish them. How? By knowing that they are going to spend, for some of them, eternity. Can you imagine knowing if, let's say, you hit yourself, okay, It's a moment when you really hurt yourself, but you know that if you take care of it, pain will slowly diminish, so you can deal with it. But God be with those who really have to deal with things that time becomes part of if they are not pleasant. You know, some people who have to live with a certain sickness, it's a kind of test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. How would you really deal with time? Things that are more permanent than others. Now, I mentioned all of this. How much time do I have, brother? Oh, 10 minutes. Alhamdulillah. Now, I would like to come to the practical side of it. So far, everything I told you may make sense or may not make sense. You know, it's up to you. You are intelligent human beings. You can really make up your mind. But why do we need to talk about this? Don't we know all of that? Indeed, we do. But quite often, the things we know, we don't really deal with them properly. We know that we are attending the convention, or yesterday, or last week, when you registered for this conference or convention, ask yourself, why are you coming here? Why? You know, maybe you want to take a few moments and say, yeah, indeed, why did I come? For what reason? Each one may have a different reason, but we will all do very well if we will have a common reason for coming to this convention, and that is to become better managers of time. How, okay, if we were right now attending, let's say, the session on marriage and what does time have, it has a lot to do with it. It has a lot to do with it because when you will get into a marriage relationship, if after the first mistake that the other partner, the wife or the husband, makes, if you do not really appreciate time and its importance in healing wounds and correcting mistakes, you would like to get out of time. You have no patience. Did I say patience? Indeed. Because patience is a twin of time. These two things are twins. Time and patience. If you really have patience, you will be able to use your time, no matter how long things take, you are there for a purpose. You are in this life for a purpose. There are people who really say, oh, I have plenty of time. And here I will start to give you number 1, 2, 3, 4 as an advice how to deal with time. Number 1, please do not say that I am too young to do certain acts of worship. And the most common one is Hajj. You know, when I was a child, I'm really happy that I am raising my family in Canada. I was raised in Lebanon until I was 19 years old, and much of the culture of that country, by the way, culture can be good and it can be bad, because with time, if you mix culture with that pure religion, with time, you really lose track. Which is culture, which is religion, you don't know. But in my old country, it was a cultural notion that Hajj is for old people. You know, young people, oh, it's not, what do you want to go for Hajj? That is, if you really thought about going to Hajj. We thought of a Haji, or people who go to Hajj to be called. I mean, they don't have a title, they need a title, so now it is time they go for Hajj, and everybody starts calling them Haji. Alhamdulillah, they come here, Haji, so and so. And some people, I don't know their real name, I just know them by Haji. Okay? And I thought as a child that that's his name, Haji. Okay? Well, in fact, you know, by the way, have you read the story of Haji Abu Bakr and Haji Omar? Haji Osman? Haji Ali? None of them is called Haji. Okay? So don't wait. I'm glad that here in this country, you appreciate many young people are going for Hajj. After satisfying the prerequisite, they go for Hajj. Alhamdulillah. They do that. So this is number one. Don't wait. And when I say don't wait, you know, Rasulullah was asked on different occasions, what are the best deeds? And depending on the circumstances, the question was asked, and he gave an answer. On one occasion, he said among the best deeds that a Muslim can do is to pray on time. Why? Why is it important to pray on time? Because it is like an organizer. You know, you have an organizer, a day organizer, a week organizer, because really, Salat came during these times because your biological clock, your hormonal makeup, your daily chores, your things, if you will pray on time, you will be the most efficient, and through that, you will start to feel that efficiency translated into spirituality. Spirituality and say, you know, this is because of my Salat. This is because of the Salat. And you start to say, oh Allah, thank you for what you... And you know, just imagine, if you will keep Zuhr until it's just 10 minutes before Asr, you go there and you know you are rushing, you cannot concentrate on your Salat properly, and then very quickly after that you start praying Asr, you had from Fajr until that time of Asr, when your spirituality started to dry up, right or wrong? It starts to dry up. Whereas if you pray on time, you know, depending, the most productive time of the day in the morning, so it's the longest time between Fajr and Dhuhr. And then, you know, time starts, you are a little bit tired after lunch, and it is getting hot, especially in hot climate, so you really need to go and relax. They call it, you know, Qaynula, they call it the afternoon rest. So there is Salat. And then Maghrib, there is Salat. Before you go to bed, there is Salat. So please, number two, pray on time. Learn to pray on time. Have a resolution to pray on time. Number three, don't say, well, you know, I need your help, brothers, both of you. What do you say if you call your mother, mother? Or, you know, is it cool? It's cool. You know, kids say that this is cool when you really talk about how you talk to your parents like they are nothing. Oh, thank you. You're much help. What I want to say that there are teenagers who feel that, you know, talking, you know, rudely to their parents is okay. Because they are still teenagers, they are still young, they can do that, they are permitted to do that. There's still plenty of time when we grow and mature, then we start to deal with them differently. But you know, if you have this attitude, you may not know whether either you or your parents, most probably your parents, may not live into the time when you become mature enough to start dealing with them properly. And then if you decide to wait until that time to mature Islamically, and you open the Quran and you read وَقَضَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, you look, where are they? They are dead. How can I do good to my parents? It's too late. They are gone. The only thing you have left is to make dua. That's all. But they are gone. You have done a lot for them. So number three, be good to your parents. Don't wait. Don't say, but you know, at school, everybody talks about their adventures with their parents, how they really tricked their parents. They told them they are going to study at so-and-so, and in fact, they went for a movie. And they told their mother that, oh, I am such and such, and they actually were not there, they were lying. Okay, number four, don't say, I will start to really do the things Islam requires of me later on, I'm still too young. You know, if you want to build a structure properly, you have to take into consideration the climate, you have to take into consideration the time, that every step needs. Sometimes they pour concrete and they cannot you know, proceed to the next phase, because the concrete has to set for a certain period of time to reach its 100% setting time. And then if you need to put the electricity or the, you know, everything is time limited. And you've got to do it at the right time. There are things that you can do right now when you are young, you will never be able to do when you become older. You won't be able to do it, because your physical structure will not permit you to do it. If you will spend your time in ibadah now, when you are young, that's when you become in your 30s, in your 40s, mashallah, already you have that spiritual, the spiritual wealth, that you will become a person that others will really look at and start to emulate, because you've done it the right way. Remember that most of the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ were young, and they started from young age. And look, when we read their life histories, it sounds like we are reading fairy tales. It just sounds, is it true what Ali did, that he really took the gate of the fort of Khaybar and said, Allahu Akbar, and he took it in his head? How could he? Is it true when we see the sword, Zulfiqar, that Ali ibn Abi Talib used to hold? I say, how could he have, you know, held it like that and never lost a duel with another person and with the enemy? Umar ibn al-Khattab, he accepted Islam when he was 27 years old. And since that day, Umar ibn al-Khattab, because of what he built in a reputation of being a Muslim that is so sick, actually, you know, there's a story last week, one of the sisters came to me in Vancouver and asked me, you know, there's a story that I really can't believe, is it true that once Umar and Rasulullah were together, and women wanted to ask a question of Rasulullah, and they felt uneasy because Umar was there, and they were terrified of Umar, because he was sitting with Rasulullah. And I said, yes, it is true, sister. Actually, Umar was there, and you know, he was known to really, when he would walk in the street, people would just, you know, empty the street for him. That's how he was. He was young, he was spiritually full. Just one ayah or a few ayat, it changed that young person from someone who exercised his physical strength in negative things to a person that was spiritually full. Young age is something that is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you will really use it properly, you will enjoy the rest of your time. But you know what? Number five advice, if you will spend the young age assaulting your lungs by smoking, assaulting your central nervous system by substance abuse, assaulting your body by eating junk food, assaulting your muscles by sleeping till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, assaulting your eyes by watching television day and night, assaulting your intelligence by not even opening a book and studying properly and analyzing things, but rather just basically, you know, read from the notes to just pass exams, or you might have chosen to assault your intelligence even further by spending your time, wasting time, yes, spending your time, and if you heard that, we are talking about this today, by wasting time in going to the mall, in smoking, in joking, in just feeling that you can really do anything and everything you want. And when you start to, by default, grow into old age, and you need to have a certain appearance. Yes, I will stop. Is that the message? I will stop, brother. Okay, so, and reach that old age, you know what? All the things that you should have been building are not there. So you've got to build the rest of that building on a body that is really having half blocked bronchioles and lungs and you know, eyes. No, by the way, you know, it's genetic, my eye, so I assaulted them by other things, alhamdulillah. Now, you will start to feel that you can't even read a book because you did not train yourself to spend the time to read and educate and all of that. I honestly ask you for your forgiveness. I know that sometimes I get carried away and sometimes I do not look at time properly, so I don't really measure it properly. But I hope that this time it was for a good purpose. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us and help us to use time properly. Wassalamu.